billions of dollars in revenue from an unpaid labor force.
The NCAA, which called on Newsom to veto the bill, arguing it would destroy the distinction between amateurs and the pros and give California an unfair recruiting advantage.
For more news, please remember you can find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A former Dallas police officer who fatally shot her neighbor after mistaking his apartment for her own was found guilty of murder on Tuesday. A jury reached the verdict in Amber Geiger's murder trial in just a handful of hours of deliberation. Ukraine's president is claiming he had no contact with President Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani.
I've never met Rudy Giuliani. Never. And never had any phone calls with him.
The chairman of three Democratic-led House committees are recommending Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, in their words, immediately stop intimidating witnesses in his department in order to protect himself and President Trump. Congressman Elliot Engel of New York, Adam Schiff of California, and Elijah Cummings of Maryland issued a joint statement to respond to Pompeo's earlier letter today, claiming Congress was bullying his employees. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
So hello. This is Joe Peters, and we're going to do Real Estate Matters for the next hour. It is Tuesday, the 1st of October. Can you believe? I think summer may be over. And I'm sitting in scenic downtown Flemington, and currently the time is 4:06. We're going to go through the Weber and a few commercials. I'll be right back.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunter In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunter In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
So right now it's 79 degrees in downtown Flemington. Then we get sort of a mixed bag. It's going to be 66 overnight. Tomorrow it's going to be 90 and 54 overnight. And then Thursday, tomorrow night into Thursday, we're going to get some rain. It's going to be 59 on Thursday, 63 on Friday. Friday night, 39 degrees, man. Hey, those get your babies in, man. Those flowers aren't going to make it to the weekend going like this. Mine already shriveled up a little. I think they know, and when season's over, season's over. So a few more commercials, I'll be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
So once again, Joe Peters, Real Estate Matters, October 1st, 2019. It is 4:10. I'm sitting in scenic downtown Flemington, and it's a little dark in the studio today. I just opened the blinds on one of the windows to see if I can shed some light on the subject. I'm not sure it's doing a great job, but glad to have you on board. What we're going to do today is we're going to talk about selling your house. Well, I'm in real estate. You've got to understand that's what I like to talk about. I do residential real estate across both Hunterdon and Somerset County. And I've been doing it full-time for 15 years as a professional. Before that, I was in high-tech sales, and I sold to the retail vertical. And before that, I served in IT positions in the retail vertical. So a couple of twists and turns through life that all took me in a general direction to use my skills of my interpersonal skills, my organizational skills, my technical skills, my presentation skills to put everything I had learned along the way to good use in real estate. And I got to tell you, 2019 has been an interesting year. I must have a half a dozen different people, two of which I'm working with right now, that have decided it's time to sell their house. These are people that I've either worked with in the past or have bought or sold something with in the past. And it's become time now to move on. And you might take a look at what happened over the last 10 years. The last 10 years, the very beginning of the last 10 years, was very meager times, real estate-wise and financial-wise. A lot of people either got cut back, laid off, or maybe one of the two people got cut back or laid off, weren't comfortable enough to get out and buy that other house at that point in time when they normally would have. This person typically buys a house every 7 or 8 years. In the recent past, it's turned out to be 13 or 14 years. And the good news is that they're finding when they do go to sell, things are better, they're both working again. They've built up a lot of equity. And the equity is very useful to help them purchase another house. One couple I'm working with is trying to downsize. They're in a beautiful 3-acre piece of property in Alexandria. Takes a little bit of lawn maintenance, but they love it, and the love is shown throughout the house. They're looking, and we'll close on tomorrow, at a 55-plus in Reddington in a Four Seasons development. And what it's going to afford them is the ability to get into a lifestyle where there's less outdoor work and more discretionary time. And I think that's where Marilyn and I are at. We sort of downsized maybe 10 years ago. We had that big mega mansion, 4,300 square foot in Clinton Township. And we decided it's eating up our time, it's eating up our money. And quite honestly, at that point in time, which was back when this financial correction was taking place, it wasn't gaining any steam as far as prices going up. So we sold it, and we've been in a townhouse ever since. And it gives us just what I described, a lot more time and a lot more discretionary money that you'd probably put into your house to do other things with. So if you were to take a look at it from our situation, I mean, somebody once asked me, and a beautiful house, 3.5 acres, it had like 3 big stands of trees, the driveway meandered through the trees, it was picture beautiful. And by the time I'd walked the 300, 400 feet to get the mail and come back, I had to do some weeds, there was a patch of grass that needed to be touched up, the gutter needed to be cleaned out. And somebody said, well, what's the difference? And the biggest difference you've got, I said, now I just go get the mail. Everything outside is taken care of by the Homeowners Association, and we love it. So it's given us what we were looking for. And I think in the case of my clients from Alexandria, they're going to find the same thing. I have another client, just to give you examples. He's getting on in his years, and he wants to divest himself of his company and his current large house, which is over 6 bedrooms, and buy a piece of property on a river so that he can sit on the porch and watch the world go by. And in effect, we found him that piece of property. Nowhere near Hunterdon County, but we did find it for him. And they're in the process of doing the same thing. They're going to close it in another 2 weeks, and their house is on the market. And that's what we're going to talk about today. What do you consider when you put your house on the market? Everybody can relate to real estate because everybody is wondering what their house is worth. They either want to buy it and sell it, buy another, fix it up, maybe cash out on it as far as a more refinance and buy a summer home, pay off the kids' education. Lots of strategies there tax-wise with the new tax rules. But today we're going to talk about selling your house in the fall of 2019. I'm taking most of this material from a brochure that reads just what I just said, selling your house, things to consider in the fall of 2019. And I can email this to you. I'm at jpeters@jpeters.com, or you can go to my site, jpeters.com, and there's a place where you can ask me to send you the Selling Your House consideration booklet, and I'd be more than happy to do it. It's published by a company that I buy publications from, and it's updated on a quarterly basis, and this is the latest edition. So we're going to go through the reasons to sell, what the experts are saying about the market, the difference a year makes for sellers, why now is the perfect time to sell your house, Americans rank real estate as the best investment for 6 years running, home buyer demand will be strong for years to come, and what's the latest on interest rates? What you'll need to know before you sell is having a professional on your side makes a big difference. That's where I come in. Why you shouldn't for sale by owner, tips to sell your home faster, to stage or not to stage, that is the question, and that means what am I going to do about staging the house to make it look better, and what you need to know to properly price your home. And when selling your house, what to expect. Will it sell immediately? Will the role access plays in getting your house sold? That's an important part. If you don't give easy access, it's going to slow down the whole process. And then five reasons to hire a real estate professional like me. And that's what I do. So let's talk about the reasons for selling this fall. They're perfectly logical, but you may not be thinking about them in this order. The latest buyer traffic report says demand is strong. And right now, more often than not, in many areas of the country, multiple buyers are competing with each other to buy the same house. Take advantage of this. I can tell you, we sold more houses in July than in August than we did in July, and then sold more houses in September than we did in August in both Hunterdon and Somerset County. That demand is out there. It depends where your house is, and it depends what your price point is, but if you're in one of the hot markets, which are in Hunterdon County below 400K, your house will probably go immediately. If you're just above 400K, I think you're still going to be pleasantly surprised. Another point is there's less competition now. Housing inventory is still under a six-month supply. That's exactly what we've got in Hunterdon County this morning. 4 to 6 month supply is normal. Unicorns are out. Rainbows are appearing. Butterflies are flying. Birds are chirping. It's normal. Everybody's happy. That means prices aren't going up. They're not going down. It's taking somewhere between 4 and 6 months to sell your house. But a month of supply is based on how many houses are currently on the market. Let's say there's 10. And how many houses went under contract in the last 30 days. Let's say it's free. Well, then you have free in a third month's supply. That doesn't mean your house is going to take 3.3 months to sell, but they correlate fairly closely. But if you had 10 houses and only one sold, well, that means you'd have 10 months' supply, and that's much higher than average. And guess what happens when there's too much inventory? Well, in effect, the buyers get to be picky. It becomes a buyer's market, and you're probably going to have to lower your price. Where if you get below 4 months, like that 3.3-month example, well, then you're probably going to see those multiple offers that the article talked about. So there is less competition now. We have been listing a lot of houses for this time of the year, but there's still less competition than there is in the spring. The process will be quicker because the competitive environment forced buyers to all they can to stand out from the crowd. I have one that we did recently. We went cash, we went 30 days, and we took the deal right off the table. That's the kind of offers we see when you find a right buyer. And there's never going to be a better time to move up. Your next move will probably be into a premium or luxury home, and now's the time to move up. And that may be a 55-plus premium luxury home. Its current inventory for sale in higher price ranges means you're planning on selling a starter or trade-up home, moving into your dream home. You'll be able to do that in the luxury premium market. According to CoreLogic, prices are projected to appreciate 5.2% over the next year. And if you're moving into a higher priced home, it will wind up costing you more in raw dollars, both in down payment and mortgage payment, if you wait, because those prices are going to go up and interest will probably go up. And it's kind of time to get on with the rest of your life. I can't say enough about this because sometimes people saw it somewhere around the end of 2005, early 2006. The market was at its peak, and it generally came down over the next 5 years, almost 35%, depending on your price point and location. And some people say, well, I'm not going to sell till it gets back to where it was. Well, where it was wasn't where it should have been, or that wouldn't have happened. It was an artificial inflationary spike. But sometimes life is more important than money. And if you can get, and we're probably, if not all the way back within 10% on the higher price houses in our area, you probably can get a very competitive price for your house. And on top of it, if you're going to buy another house that's also still somewhat down because it's more than yours, you're going to get that advantage as well. So here's what the experts are saying about the market. The back half of the year, we have a decline in interest rates, and we do. We've had 2 quarter-point drops. We're sitting at a little around 3.6% right now. We see the count. This is Ralph McLernan, Deputy Chief Economy for CoreLogic. We see the cool-down flattening or even reversing course in the coming months. Inspect that housing market will continue to come into balance. In the meantime, buyers are likely claiming some of the ground from what has been territory, sellers' territory over the past few years. If mortgage rates stay low, and they will, but they will go up as well, wages continue to grow, and they have, and inventory picks up, and it has. Those are the three things that came into alignment. The U.S. housing market, we can expect the U.S. housing market to further stabilize for the remainder of the year. That's an important concept, stabilize, because we haven't seen normal in 15 years. In the time building up to 2005, 2006, that 5 years, we saw inflationary pricing. Then 2005 to 2010, we saw all the decline. 2010 to almost now, we saw people trying to get back in stride with what they thought their house was worth. Now we're getting to a point with 6 months inventory in Hunterdon County, we're pretty stable. We're normal. But nobody remembers what normal looked like. We're somewhere doing a 3 and a 5% increase for the next few years on the current prices of the house. We've got excellent interest rates. We've got excellent unemployment rates. And we've got inventory. It couldn't be better. Bottom line, if you're thinking about selling now, maybe be the best time. Demand for your home will be strong, particularly when the buyers are looking to lock in at low mortgage rates. And let's talk about mortgage rates and history. I can recall, and you know, you hear your grandfather said he walked to school for 3 miles in the snow every day. I can recall our first mortgage rate was 5.25, and we thought we robbed the bank, because not too many years before that, back during the Carter administration, we were seeing 17, 18, 20% interest rates depending on your credit. Now, we're looking at interest rates that were all the way down to 3.5 a month ago. They're up at about 3.6 now. You may see some further lessening of the price, but it would only happen over bad news because it's tied to the Treasury bonds. And you're probably at the best point it's going to be at. We're sitting at 3.6. If that merely goes to 4.6, you will lose 9% of your buying power. So if at 3.6 you can afford a $500,000 house, at 4.6 you can only afford a $455,000 house, 9% less. And in that year, if the house went up 5%, it's probably more like a 4.25. So you have that 1-2 punch. You have interest rates going up and house prices going up. Perfect time to sell your house. And we're taking a look at, as a homeowner, it's always tempting to dream about the next big project you're going to tackle. The possibilities are endless. Should I renovate? Should I refinance? Should I stay? Should I move? Should I? The list goes on and on and on. In today's housing market, it's actually a great time to shift your thoughts towards selling your house and moving up to the home of your dreams. And here's why. Inventory is over a 4 month supply, but it's still an overall shortage of houses if it's less than 6 months supply found in, for a normal market. So homes are going under contract quickly. I will tell you, you have a clean house under 400,000. I don't care where you're at. It's going to sell quickly. You have a clean house in the 5 to 6, you're probably looking at a transfer-in kind of buyer, and you're probably not looking at much appreciation at all, either last year or this year. But if that house is in Clinton Township, what I described is what just happened. If that house is all the way down in the Amwells, all the way out in Holland, you are probably looking at a greater month supply, and that greater month supply is going to put the pressure on prices. And prices have to be razor sharp in order for you to get your price. Inventory has built up. As a result of inventory building up, we have more houses than we have buyers, and buyers have, as a result of that, more to choose from and are very picky, and they're very cost conscious as far as the price goes. You'd be amazed how many buyers will take a look at Zillow and take a look at your price, and if the price is higher than what Zillow says it's worth, probably not come and take a look at it. Now, Zillow says at the bottom of the page, this estimate is only within 30%, but nobody reads the bottom of the page. So clients, I can't tell you how many clients show up with reams of paper with Zillow prices, and I say, let's go to the bottom of the page. I want you to read where it says this could be 30% off. Zillow's never been in your house. Zillow has never been in your town or your county, and I question if they've been in the state of New Jersey. Zillow is a great marketing tool, and they use the proportion between sales price and total assessed value for the most part to tell people what your house will be worth. But if you did a lot of things within your house to improve it that weren't permit type jobs, your total assessed value may not have gone up, but your house is twice as nice as the one next door. And it's also, in Zillow's mind, worth the same price because the assessed value is the same. I have, in my last two transactions where we were going to list a house, actually, because both of them had bought another house, I said to my buyers, why don't we split the expense and let's go get a professional bank appraiser. Runs about $500. But now we know what the bank is probably going to appraise the house for. So if you've got a house that you think is worth $600 and the bank says it's only worth $525, even if somebody comes along and agrees you to give you that $600, you are going to have an appraisal that falls $75,000 short, and the down payment has nothing to do with it. It's the purchase price, and somebody's got to come up with that money if it's going to be financed. If it's cash, it doesn't matter. We're seeing buyer traffic building up, and we're seeing seller traffic falling off. And well, let me say that backwards. We're seeing seller traffic building up and buyer traffic. Well, that's what's making it a buyer's market. We're seeing more inventory now than we have buyers. It's a great time to be in the market because it's time to make a change. We probably should get together and take a look at it. Real estate. I apologize for the cough, guys. I've got a little bit of a sinus infection. Been to the doctor, and it's not contagious. That's why Maryland doesn't have it. But the cough is still there. 35% Americans believe real estate is a great, best investment for 6 years running. Only 27% feel the stock market is. And only 15% feel a savings account is, and 14% gold. That is an amazing number. Of the four listed, real estate is the only investment you can always live in. Bottom line. If you're serious about growing your assets and making the most out of investment in your family's future, feel confident that the Americans rank home ownership as the best option. And let's talk about home ownership and what's involved. You typically need some money. And when you get the money, you put it as down payment. You got to keep some in reserve to close with and fix the house up once you move in. But let's say you finance 80%, it's 500, you finance 400. The whole house, the whole 500 appreciates. Let's say it goes up to 5%, the max I said things would go up. It'll be worth 5.25 at the end of the year if that happens. Depends on your location. That's nice appreciation because you put down $100,000 and got $25,000 in value back the first year. That's leverage. Secondly, it's a forced savings because you're not only paying off the interest, you're paying off the principal. So every month you get an income tax deductible payment that's split between your interest and your principal, your taxes, and your insurance. And of those four areas, the taxes, real estate taxes, and the interest are tax deductible. And although the tax rules just changed, for most people, it's still a pretty good tax shelter. So a lot of times when somebody's looking at a house to buy, one of the things they're not thinking about is probably 70% of your mortgage payments a tax deduction. So let's say you're paying 30% taxes and you're going to buy a $2,000 mortgage. 70%, $1,400, is a tax deduction. 1,400 times 10 months would be 14,000. So it would be 15,600 at the end of the year if my multiplier is working right. And 70% of that is going to shelter your taxes. That's a nice find. Got to look at your tax situation and talk to your accountant. Everything we're seeing is home buyer demand is forecasted to be strong for years. So even though, forgetting what's going on TV in the last couple of days, let's talk about the time in general. Even though we're going through decent times, but we're hearing it's going to come to an end, there's a recession, there's a possible downturn in the economy, all it means, and it's already happened to a great extent, is that 6 and 7% interest we used to see, or growth we used to see in house prices, is going to turn into 3 or 4%. We don't see it happening that what happened in 2005 to 2010 repeats itself. Interest rates. We've talked about them. We've not seen this kind of interest in a long time. And I don't see it going down. I see it stable to going up just a little. We'll probably get one more Fed rate cut before the end of the year. So I would think by the end of the year, we may have interest in the 3.75. It's 3.6. It was 3.55 last month. It couldn't be better. Jobs couldn't be better. New Jersey's got 3.3% unemployment, and we added 3.5% to average wage in the last month. Those are good numbers. Everybody that's capable of working is working. Try to push a door open at a store or an eatery, even a fine restaurant, without a help wanted sign. We're out of people. We're paying $15 an hour for front-end help at most of our grocery facilities, and it has become the de facto standard. With the economy where it is, we don't need to change the minimum wage rules. So let's talk about why you would pick a realtor. I think the first thing you're going to look for is a match in personality. My style is not pushy, not laid back. I consider myself a person who is pursuing their goals and the goals of their client persistently, but not strenuously. In other words, if it's not the right time, I'll back off. If it is the right time, we'll both know it, and I'll help you get the job done. So having a professional at your side makes a difference. If you're going to sell a house, your real estate agent is going to help you determine the price, the marketing strategy, the clientele we're going to target the house towards, the marketing material. He or she is going to talk to all the other agents that have an interest in the house, and at the very end, to their clients as well. The person should be a skilled negotiator. So they not only need to help you strategize marketing-wise, they need to help you negotiate as the offers do start coming in. The other thing that is widely in use today is technology. You need to choose a realtor that has the technical tools. And not every realtor, even within the same company. I'm with Coldwell Banker, and I will tell you I am probably one of the few agents within Coldwell Banker that understands how to use technology at the level I use it in order to get your house in front of the right buyers. For instance, we can tell who lives in your zip code. We can tell by numbers provided by the Treasury for census, and it's updated every 10 years to the Nat's eyelash, but it's updated in between as well, so it's not 10 years old. We can tell, are they college grads? How much are they earning? What are their average age? And most importantly, we can tell where they're moving in from. Where did the most recent sales, the buyers, come from? So that we can turn around and use that information to use to that age buyer in that zip code, the features of your house to make it go sell quicker. The quicker it sells, the quicker you got money in your pocket to get on the rest of your life, and the quicker it sells, the better the price is. Once a house sits on the market for 90 days, it's really tough to get anywhere near the asking price. Because people are looking and feeling, well, if it hasn't sold, what's wrong with it? And there might be nothing wrong with it. It might be that the seller had it up too high, took 60 days to get it down, and by that time, the seasons have changed. I have one house that was on the market in the spring, and it was red hot in the spring. We were getting lots and lots and lots of showings, but the price was a little high. We spruced the house up a little. We put it just at the price, put it back on, but it's not at spring anymore. So it's still too high, even though we adjusted the price. And that becomes tough, because then it may be getting to a point where it's unfeasible for you to sell it at the price that you can sell it at. For sale by owner, this is very tempting. A real estate agent gets a negotiable fee to sell your house, but he does all the things I just talked about. And I'll give you a good example. I, Joe Peters, spend about $2,000 to list and market your house during a listing. That's my average cost. If I sit down and talk to a customer or a client or a potential seller, and I realize that their expectations are out of sight, I tell them point blank, I'm not willing to take your listing because I'm not going to spend the $2,000 only to have it not sell. Nobody gives me that money back. I am an independent contractor to Coldwell Banker. Every realtor you talk to is an independent contractor. They've been trained, some better than others. They've got experience, some more than others. They've got all the tools that the company that they work for has to offer, but some people know how to use them better than others as well. But at the end of the day, it's their money, the marketing. If you've got an internet ad running, if you've got a newspaper ad running, if you've got a sign on your front yard, if you've got a photographer coming out to take pictures or a drone to take aerial shots, the realtor is spending the money. So should you decide that I'm going to save the realtor's fee, the first thing you give up is all the expertise. I mean, there are some things we can do that you can't even dream of unless you've done this before, and very few people that make this decision have. First things first, the results come from the internet. We don't put things in a newspaper unless you insist. I'll put it in so you can see a picture of your house in a paper. But I'm going to tell you, nobody's reading the newspapers anymore as far as looking for houses. They're online, and we've got to put it where it belongs online so that the people find it. 50% come from the internet, 28% use a real estate agent as a buyer, it costs them nothing, 7% come in from a yard sign, and 1% from the newspapers. Those are real statistics, ladies and gentlemen. There are too many people to negotiate. You need a skilled negotiator, if you're thinking about doing this yourself, that knows how to deal with the other agent who's going to represent the buyer for your house. Once that gets through, it needs to go for attorney review. You have two attorneys to talk to. Once that gets done, there's an inspection. Once the inspection is done, there's repairs. Once that is done, it's getting financing in place. Then you need to get the house appraised. Once again, if it doesn't appraise, there's money that needs to be brought to the table. So you've got a buyer who wants the best deal possible, a buyer's agent solely representing the buyer, and you, as a for sale by owner, are totally unrepresented, without any experience in most cases. Buyer's attorney in most parts of the country, a home inspection company, the appraiser, and it's just become more and more increasingly difficult. You net more money when using a real estate agent. I'm not going to go through the details on the radio, but I can sit down and show you written examples where using a real estate agent will bring you more money than selling it yourself and not paying the agency fee. You're only fooling yourself. Your choice. I know most for sale by owners, because we call them to see if they've gotten discouraged and want to talk to a real estate agent. Several times a year I'll pick up an agent, a listing because of that. But up front, they know everything. Can't even talk to them. Then they've got information off of Zillow. Now, Zillow is a great marketing company. Its information is not accurate, but you got to know what you're looking at. We have other systems that we deal with to give us much better information. So now let's talk a little about getting your home ready for the market. First thing you got to do is declutter. I tell people, go out and get one of those $99 a month garages and start moving out. Get all the excess boxes out and furniture pieces out so your home looks as big as possible. And make it organized. In effect, the buyers will feel at home when they come in. I had this happen on Sunday. I had two or three sets of buyers that said, wow, this is nice. These people got the job done. You got to get the price right. Very important. Give buyers full access. I talked about this a little bit earlier. You need to have a lockbox on. We need to get people in with 2 hours' notice if it's an emergency, but we always try to get a call the night before to get things set up. But if you want to sell your home in the least amount of time and for the best price and with as little hassle as possible, local real estate professional is a useful guide. Let's connect, and I can explain that further. To stage or not stage, I can tell you when I walk through a house whether or not we need a stager. Now, when I walk through a house, the first thing people want is, be honest with me, but they don't want you to. Tell me what needs to be changed and what doesn't need to be changed. Well, I can walk through a house and say, well, you should put a new kitchen in, but if you did, you'd only get 50 cents on a dollar out of it, so I wouldn't advise that. I'd rather see you not raise the price and sell the house quicker. Same goes for bathrooms. But when you get down to family pictures, they should be put away. Grandma's chandelier doesn't have to be put away, but we could say that's excluded. But you need to make it look as generic as possible. The thing you need to realize is that the person that's buying your house is probably a generation or two younger than you are, and you're marketing to that generation. And sometimes they'll come in and they'll say, look, the house is priced right. I can redecorate it. It's an open palette. Other times, and it happens by comparison, they just came from a house that's really nice and it's ready to go. And the next house they see after yours is really nice, and they could find that acceptable as well. And yours is wallpapered, every room a different color. Well, I think you got your hands full, unless you've got a price right, price to sell. What a stager can do is come through and show you how to neutralize the house, how to get rid of some furniture, and supplement it with other furniture so it maximizes the value of each room in your house. Typical staging, I've seen it run anywhere from $1,500 to $5,000 or $6,000. And then they rent the furniture for you on a monthly basis. But it works. I've had a stager on this show in the past that says, my job is to make your house sell quicker and for more money. And that's what a stager does. Had a guy, this is going back about 10 years, first time I ever used a stager. Lived in a place for 12 years. There wasn't a feminine touch in the house. That was his man cave. And it was drab, and it wasn't selling. And somebody suggested bringing a stager in. We spent $1,800. And in effect, the first person that looked at it bought it. I couldn't believe it. And I at times do get a stager in for some opinions, but I at other times say your house is ready to go, and some houses can be sold the way they are. especially if you're willing to be razor sharp on the pricing. So, properly pricing your home. Let me tell you what an appraiser does, because I just did two of them. They find five houses that bracket your house. Two or three lower, two or three higher, all within a mile, all the same size, and all that have sold in the last 6 to 12 months. Then they'll find that some have an extra garage bay, and they make an adjustment for that. And they'll find some don't have as many bedrooms as you, and they'll make an adjustment for that. So they adjust the prices up and down. They come back, and they say, here's where a bank appraiser is probably going to put your house. That's the most foolproof way. To that, I would add 5% and put the house on the market, because we typically sell for about 3% under market, depending on where your market price is and where your location is. So as an agent, I can do this as well. But what I don't have are the hundreds and hundreds of recent appraisals that an appraiser has. What I have are the dozen or so I've done in the last year. And I can, in both of the cases, if I got an appraiser, they came in right where I thought it should be. So I wasn't far off. It's just that sometimes the seller thinks you're trying to get the house price low so you can get a quick sale out of it. That's not the case. I always advocate for my seller. I become a seller's agent with your best interest in mind. And I always try to get you the maximum price for your house. But when it's above that maximum price, well, then it's difficult. And let's look, and there's a pyramid here, and I can once again send this to you. It's the impact of price on visibility. The percentage of potential buyers who will look at your house if it's at market value is 60%. If it's under market value by 10%, 75%. And if it's under market value by 15%, 90% of the potential buyers will come look at your house. But if it goes the other way and it's 10% above market value, I could tell you very clearly you're not going to have many buyers. But it cuts the 60% to 30%. If you get up to 15% over, it's only 10%. So you really cut down by pricing it incorrectly. The only way I will agree with a buyer to list it above where it's recommended it should be is if it, we say, okay, that's a 60-day trial. We'll try it at that price for 60. At the end of 30, if there's no offers, we'll adjust it here. And at the end of 60 days, we adjust it to the final price. The role access plays in getting your house sold. Lockbox, key, access on a phone call, by appointment only are horrible because then I have to be there. And quite honestly, I've got several listings and I can't get to all of the things. Limited access, like homes only available a couple hours a day. You want to make your house as available as possible. And when you do that and get it priced right, you will get the showings that you need. Now, how many of the showings do you get? I think it depends where you're at and what your price point is. But I think if you're getting, in your first week, free showings, hopefully a few more, but at least free, you've probably got it priced around where it needs to be. At the first open house, you should have a half a dozen people. Usually two or three are nosy neighbors. They're good, though. They may have somebody that's a relative that wants to live near them. But you got to give them access. You got to be able to say, look, I have a lockbox on it. I have to make sure my people can allow you tomorrow at 12. I'll get right back to you. And then when I say back, okay, there's a key in a lockbox, let yourself in. And then once that person enters the house, I get an email saying this person just entered the house. And once they leave, I get another email saying that they just left. And I know their agency gives them their email address, their phone number, actually gives them all the contact information of the buyer agent that that client's working with. So, five reasons to hire a professional. Number one, contacts. If you talk to any one of the several hundred houses that I've sold for people or helped people buy, over the last 15 years. One word that keeps coming up is Joe's resourceful. He knew the right plumber. He knew the right appraiser. He knew the right attorney. He knew the right septic guy. He knew the right... I do. I work with people all day long. And if there's nobody available, then I have a network of other agents can help me find somebody if it's something really unique. Experience. I do about 24 sales a year. I've been doing it for 15 years. So if you multiply one times the other, you're going to see I have over 300 sales. 300 times I've been through this. I can almost tell where your price is and what the initial offer is, what you're going to wind up selling the house for with this customer. I've just done it that many times, but I have to let it play out, and I advocate for you, unless the other agent is a Coldwell Banker agent and become a disclosed dual agent. It changes slightly, but I'm still in your corner because I'm working for you. Negotiations. I can't tell you how many times, going back to the for sale by owner, 99% of the reason for sale by owner sales don't come to fruition is that one side or the other gets their feelings hurt because the other side said something inadvertently, usually, that they didn't care for about them or their house. And the next thing is, well, I wouldn't sell that. I'm the only buyer in the world. Oh, good grief, that makes a lot of sense. When you have an agent, we're a buffer. We call ourselves glue. We hold the two sides together. Somebody comes and looks at your house on a Thursday and comes back on a weekend and brings their parents, and then an offer comes in on a Monday. I am talking to the other agent, still not talking to the client. You and I discuss what the agent offers as an offer. I give you some, what I would call, detailed advice based on your situation. And we negotiate down to where it is acceptable price, what's included time-wise, all the items that need to be included before we start engaging a lawyer. Which goes, then we go to an attorney. Attorney goes through the attorney review. He protects your best interests, and then the point I'm getting to is you still haven't met the buyer. It's one agent working with the other agent. Once you're out of attorney view, the buyer brings an inspector over. I show up at that point in time and introduce myself. I usually stay around for a little bit just so I can read the situation, but you've got to give buyers enough rope to take a look at your house and decide whether or not they want it with their inspector. And the other agent will call me once it's all over and give me a detailed list of here's what we're going to ask for, here's some questions we had. And then we go back and we finish off the inspection requests, and the rest of it's getting a mortgage in place, getting you out of the house, whoever you're going to move on to. And the first time you have the opportunity to meet the buyer is usually at the closing table. And I will tell you, even then, most buyers and or sellers don't attend closings anymore. The paperwork's pre-signed. It's just a perfunctory thing between the agents and the attorneys to get all the paperwork and the funds exchanged. And you move out the night before. They do an inspection, walk through the morning after, before this closing. They go through the closing. And a lot of times the buyers are at that, but I hardly ever see the sellers. They get the keys. We take a picture. Everybody's happy. That's what it is. I've been selling your house. My name is Joe Peters. You can reach me at 908-238-0118. I cover both Hunterdon, live in Clinton, and Somerset counties. And I work for Coldwell Banker doing residential real estate across both counties. I'd love to hear from you. If you're thinking about selling a house, I'd love to talk to you. And I could give you others to talk to that I have worked with in the past that can sort of tell you what working with me was like. Although, if you go and look at my references on my site, jpeters.com, you can read them for yourself. Thank you for tuning in. I'll see you next week with the Market Report.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
This is Joe Peters signing out. I will see you next Tuesday when we do our monthly market analysis for Hunterdon and Somerset County. Thank you for tuning in.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The punishment phase is underway for the former Dallas cop convicted of murder. Amber Geiger faces life in prison for shooting a man inside his apartment. A jury found her guilty of murder today, despite arguments from her attorneys saying it was a tragedy and she feared for her life. Housing and Urban Development Secretary Ben Carson discusses the possible solutions to California's homeless crisis. State officials are considering whether to declare a state of emergency on homelessness there. The move would free up state and federal funding.
I would, first of all, try to work with the state and the local authorities, but if they're lacking, then I think we have to move people out of that environment to a safer environment and to a cleaner environment.
Carson was speaking there on Fox Business, and at the closing bell, the Dow lost 344 points to close at 26,573. This is USA Radio News.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The Trump administration is making a new push to pressure sanctuary cities such as Chicago into cooperating with federal immigration enforcement. Mark Morgan is the acting commissioner of Customs and Border Protection.
I've been doing law enforcement for a few decades, and I can tell you, I'm a lot more than concerned about this politically driven policy. What the citizens of Chicago need to understand is this policy is going to create more victims in their city. ICE has and always will. Their priorities are go after criminal aliens, not just aliens that are here illegal, but criminal aliens that are here illegally and have committed additional crimes against the city of Chicago in this incident. It's outrageous. It's reckless. And lives will be in danger because of this.
Google is working on a safety app that would detect car crashes and call 911. After determining there was a crash, the phone would sound the alarm, and if there's no response, it would call 911 with its location. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
And I owe it all to you.